Thanks for downloading this show from PC One. Before we get rolling, here's a word from one of the folks who helped bring you this podcast. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now, Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday. We meet again. I am stuck out here in Las Vegas because my pet idiot, who answers to the name of Joel... All right, listen, you know what? Let's back up. So I get up to go to the airport. We came out to Las Vegas to do a show with Richard and Frank Mir, teamed up with Phone Booth Fighting.
You call me your pet idiot.
Who answers to the name Joel? Oh, there you are. So we get up, we go to the airport.
Like, you couldn't have a pet, like an idiot. You couldn't make an idiot a pet.
I get to the airport, I go to the kiosk, I insert my credit card, and the kiosk tells me that I am 659 hours early for check-in. Now, never in my life has that happened. I did not even know kiosks did such a thing and kept math. 659 hours. Now, we're supposed to be flying out on February 28th. Instead, Joel got us a return ticket for March 28th. So we show up a month early, and we have no way to get home.
Okay, never in a million years would I have messed that up. Now, what has happened in this life, and I don't know when it is when somewhere Mr. Sonnen got really, 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 really cool, and he became a diva. And I used to be cool at one time in my life. Now I was a real, real idiot. Then I mean I look back on what an idiot I was.
No, yeah.
But I was really, really cool, kind of like you. So A, I didn't book the tickets, okay, and B, I forwarded them to you. So I will acknowledge being your pet idiot, but you must also acknowledge being my pet idiot.
No, see, it's actually that argument is why you got labeled an idiot as opposed to just an heir. So you say you didn't book the ticket. Well, a lot of people don't book their tickets. Some people go to travel agents. Some people call the airlines themselves. So how you're disregarding that bit of responsibility and disassociating yourself with it is still beyond me. But more importantly is when you make the argument that you were somehow relieved of this duty because you forwarded me the ticket. It's like, hey, man, you're not my 10-year-old son, and I'm your dad, and this is schoolwork, and I got to check it before you turn it into the teacher. I'm not going to look at that stuff. You sending me the ticket, I'm going to look at when do I have to be on the plane to fly to Vegas, which I did do, went to the airport, boarded the flight, made it to Vegas. I'm then, at the time that I need to leave, going to look at the ticket and see what time the airplane leaves. The bottom line is you were the ticket guy, and we are now stuck in Las Vegas.
We're up.
What
30,
say you?
Well, you know what? I'll accept full responsibility for it.
All right, let's just do the show.
Never looked at the tickets. Should have looked at the tickets, but in fairness, out of the 500 times or 1,000 times I've flown in my life...
You know, the same way I just described.
It was right.
You look at the ticket every
single time.
Well, let's talk over
now,
each other.
Yeah, let's talk over each other. So what you forgot to mention is the reason we came out to Vegas is we did a show.
You think I forgot to mention this? I didn't forget to mention this. I haven't had time to mention this. In fact, I'll set this up. So we come out to Vegas to do a show. We're going to go over to the Stratosphere with Frank and Richard and you and I. We're going to team up and do a show at the LA Comedy Club. Great setup. I mean, what a great venue. I'd only been there one time. It was to see Adam Hunter. MMA Roasted's Adam Hunter. Oh my goodness, he was so funny. I still laugh at things that he said that night. Great show, great venue. We get in there, great turnout. We even had media. John Morgan, the MMA Junkie, came over, documented it all for us.
What a great guy.
Morgan's cool, man.
Really, really, you know, watch this sport grow. You know, I tell people from the back of a car dealership, and a lot of people that started in media were just idiots. And so, you know, how the first time you meet somebody, you get that first impression. And so I've always thought the MMA media were all idiots because of that.
Hated MMA media.
That guy flipped my switch. I was like, man, I go hang out with that guy. I mean, he he was really on point. He was cool.
You know, his backstory is pretty interesting, too. Here, bring us back to the show. Somehow you've distracted me here with the John Morgan talk. But, you know, his backstory is interesting. I used to know it full well, but I'll get you about 90% there. But he was working somewhere and knew some HTML and could do a little computer language and started that. Was able to quit his own job, now employs a lot of people, and just does what he loves, which is travel around, watch the fights, and cover them. But he is one of the guys, and Errol Hawani, in fairness, Luke Thomas, in fairness, there is a handful of guys, but that they actually take the job seriously. They take the time to do it right, to read the news before they report it, to edit, to be professional, to get quotes. You know, there are some guys that do it right, and he's one of them. So at any rate, he comes out to the show, and we didn't really have any structure to the show. It was kind of a Seinfeld approach in that, hey, this is going to be a show about nothing, but let's just see what happens. Let's just go out there like we do a podcast. You know, today's a great example, Joel. You didn't know I was going to start this show by calling you my pet idiot and laying to you about the plane ticket. I mean, maybe you knew that was coming, but the point is that you and I never discussed that ahead of time. We kind of just shoot and record.
Well, I mean, I've got feelings. I'm a human being.
But I'm saying we don't have a structure or a show sheet or a script that we go off of. So that we took this same thing because it was our podcast and their podcast, Phone Booth Fighting. And we just went up there and shot. Now, Richard, if anyone was the head of this or the MC, it was Richard, and he did kind of steer us in certain directions, but we didn't even know what those directions were going to be. Now, we did that by design. We knew, hey, that's not the most professional way to do things. However, this is what both of our podcasts do, so if we're teaming up, we got to just carry this on, and then we'll openly admit we don't fully know what's going to happen. But let's see. And I thought it ran very smooth. I also thought that Frank, I've always liked Frank, I've always thought Frank was a charismatic guy, but I thought he was even more comfortable on that stage. And maybe it's because we're at Las Vegas, his home, his wife, and some of his personal friends came. Maybe he really felt like he was having a conversation. But I thought that Frank Mir was really in his element during that show. There was a segment of the show that got physical. They were calling it physical comedy. And Richard, who's a rock and roll guy, but he's also a rock and roll aficionado, he made a claim offhand that he could name, that if, like if you play a Bruce Springsteen song, he just knows the song within a half a beat and can then call out the name of the song. Well, he claimed that he could call out the name of said song before Frank Mir could submit him. So we clear the stage, and they get down in guard position, and the DJ hits a song, and Richard's yelling it out as Frank's trying to choke him. But what was most funny about that for me is Frank, who has to drop down into the guard on a hard stage. We had no mat out there. On a hard stage, before he could do it, had to clear his person, his being, of three knives and two guns. And that wasn't a skit. I've known that about Frank Mir. Frank Mir grew up in Las Vegas from day one. When he was old enough to possess a weapon, which I think is 18. I don't even think it's 21, like alcohol. He had a permit, and he's carried weapons. Now, when he became the world heavyweight champion twice over, he still carries two guns and three knives on him. And so when I saw him undo, that wasn't part of the show. Like, the audience didn't even really see that. He just brought him over where I went and just kind of set him off to the side. I'm going, what in the hell is going on here?
Well, listen, you need to set the stage a little bit. The stage was 12 feet long by maybe 5 feet, so it was a pretty small area. Now, me being on this podcast has been so much fun. And you let me be myself, which is a raving lunatic, and people love it. Us being an odd couple, you know, you and I are an odd couple, but not even close to Frank and Richard.
What do you mean? You don't think their dynamic matches up?
They're just completely different. I mean, they're, you know, Richard's got long hair and you know, he's 5 foot nothing and weighs 100 nothing, and Frank's a monster. So, yeah, I mean, they are an odd couple.
All right. So you got a little sauced at that show. Well, in fact, here, let's tell that part of the story. So you inform me. I wanted you to get drunk at the show. I wanted you to go out and be a buffoon. And it's so irritating. You know, you just made a statement that you love coming on the show because you got to be yourself. But anybody that listens to this show knows you and I have a push and pull every week because I try to get you to be yourself.
Here's the problem.
You want to act like a civilized being. Well, here, but I want to tell this part of the story. And you always want to act like a civilized being. So I've encouraged you, hey, man, we're going to Las Vegas. It's a 10 p.m. show. There's no chance you would ever be in Las Vegas at 10 p.m. and not be sauced up, right? So you inform me, now I'm out. I'm not drinking anything till after I fight Wes Sims on May 13th. We're walking to the gate, and you're telling me that. Now, I don't peer pressure you in the least. I don't say a word. You make a straight statement that I just thought, well, this is the end of that, but I have to go to the bathroom. So I duck into the restroom, and when I come back in no more than 2 minutes, you are leaving the bar. You had two vodkas and a cranberry. So we then board the flight, at which point you have two more vodkas and a cranberry. We then see two more vodkas and a cranberry before we land. Now you're six deep, and I didn't even say a word. You then started drinking and started as soon as Frank showed up. You got in the green room. The point was when you hit the stage, you had a little bit of Grandpa's cough syrup in you. How much of that show do you recall?
Oh, I recall the whole show. I was sauced. It was a lot of fun. I mean, I got to tell you, listening to you guys tell stories and bagging on your stories, like the reason I resonate with the fans is because I'm one of them. You know, I call BS, and that's what I did last night on some of those stories. I was just like, man, that's a bad story, and tee you up to have a better story. But in terms of what we learned last night, you know, we're talking about doing these live shows. We're going to go do a live show in my hometown in Kankakee, Illinois, I believe April 1st, the Saturday after the Bellator event. Rampage is fighting Mo, King Mo. And we're talking about, you know, what do we do? And I think that's what we do. You know, generally, most of the people are going to be there to see you.
Now, see, I thought the stories that were told were really interesting. I thought the crowd was into it. I liked them all. You know, one of my favorite parts is... somehow I was talking about Tito. I think it was to John Morgan. Somewhere I was talking about my Tito fight. So we're on the topic of Tito, and Frank has a Tito story to tell. And he was at UFC 148. I fought Anderson that night. The co-main event was Forrest Griffin, who is Frank's training partner, versus Tito. So their wives, Jenna Jameson of Tito, and then Frank Mir's wife Jennifer, end up in their assigned seats, but sitting right next to each other, separated by one person. And Jennifer gets into a dust-up with Jenna Jameson. And she comes on stage and she tells the story. And what was so compelling about it for me is Jennifer was totally the victim. You know, that's how she presented it. Her face looked as innocent. If you were on a jury, you'd let her go right away. And she just told this story about how she didn't do anything. And, you know, Jenna had put hands on her. Jenna had reached around and shoved her. And all Frank's wife, Jennifer, did was say, go make another porno, you whore. And she presented it like that, though. Like, hey, I didn't even do anything. All I said was, go make another porno, you whore. And I'm like, wait a minute, Jennifer, you know, I'm on your side here, but I'm not sure that qualifies as a nothing.
She was great. That was a great story. Frank was great. Let me back up to Frank. I had never met Frank before. And that's just a real guy. That's just a real guy. He's not trying to be big time or nothing. He's just a guy that's been in competitions his whole life. It was funny. We were in the elevator and he says, you know, obviously you wrestle a lot. I can see your cauliflower ear. Da, 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 da. He said, I wrestled 2 years. And I was like, oh, cool. He said, yeah, one state. And I was like, he didn't even let me finish saying, wow, you won state in 2 years. I mean, in my head, I'm thinking, well, Nevada must suck. I mean, you shouldn't be able to win state in 2 years. But anyway, I don't get to that. He says, yeah, I'm a pretty good athlete. I was like, yeah, Frank, you're a two-time UFC heavyweight champion. I think you got more submissions in the heavyweight division than anybody else in the UFC ever. You broke your leg in half, came back and won the title again. Yeah, I think you'd qualify as a good athlete.
I'd put him down as a decent athlete.
Yeah.
All right, so they were a lot of fun. What was the high point for you? So here, you know, I'm going to tell the story, though. So you never really quit drinking, and I don't know how much alcohol's in that or however any of that goes, but when we were on stage and your cup was getting empty, you would use your microphone and just yell to the bartender, bring me another drink.
No, I wouldn't.
Hey, Frank, John Morgan filmed the whole thing.
Frank did. So Joel's empty. And so the guy just kept bringing it.
Well, then let me let you know this in case you don't remember it. You did that as well. You literally used your mic, looked to the corner where the bartender was, held your cup up and said, bring me another drink. You did that on two occasions. So if you don't remember that, it still happened. So that ends, and then we're going to go sit down with Richard and Frank and do a little breakfast. Now this brings us to about 12:30 in the morning. And we're going to have a meeting and see, you know, what kind of segments we liked, what worked, what didn't, what resonated with the fans. How was the link? We're just going to do a, little campfire and figure out how to make this better for moving forward. So we go do that. You come in. Richard's sitting on the end. You sit on him. You turn and just sit your butt on him. So he scoots over. You plop down. We're having a talk, a business meeting. And the only thing you offer in a stumbling voice is to say, I'm bad people. And Richard kind of brings you back around. No, Joel, I think you're a nice guy. No, I'm bad people. You say this about five times. You never say goodbye. You get up and just walk away. I finish the meeting, pay the bill, walk out, come up to the room where I find you. Doors open, all the lights are on. Joel's in bed naked. And as I get closer, I can see you've not only vomited all over the bed, you've vomited all over yourself. So I do the only thing that I know that a friend should do in that situation, which is I call my wife on FaceTime so she can be brought in on it. So at some point, there is so much vomit, and it's all over you. I mean, it's covered your eye, your face, your everything. And I finally talk you into getting – I turn the shower. I'm like, hey, man, get in the shower. I'll clean up these sheets. You have got to clean off. So you finally agree, reluctantly. I clean up the sheets. It's all over the floor. Man, it's a mess. You get out of the shower. You fall into the bed without using a towel. So you're soaking wet naked. We're talking. We're visiting. You're thanking me. Tell me how appreciative you are. And the next thing I hear is you turn the opposite way. Now, it's dark in the room, so I can't see. But you turn and begin projectile vomiting onto the wall. I can hear it hitting the wall. That's kind of gross.
You feel better about yourself now?
I just wanted to tell the story.
Do you feel better about yourself? Does that make you happy? Are you proud now? Are you proud that you just embarrassed me in front of 500,000 people? Does that make you proud?
There's a part of it.
Are you a big shot now?
There's a part of it that I enjoy.
Do you feel like you've done something for humanity? You know.
Do you have any response for your actions aside from that? I mean, the best defense is a good offense. I can appreciate what you're doing right now.
Well,
but is anything you'd like to say?
Listen. Don't mess with the product.
Don't mess with the product. Listen.
Don't mess with the product. Now, I'll tell you what JLP did do last night.
You're a bit of an interrupter.
You're a bit of a jerk off.
But you are a bit of an interrupter.
Yeah.
Do you know that about yourself?
I should probably tell some humiliating things that you've been
I was in. Going to give I you a segue.
I should probably tell you some humiliating things that you've been involved in the last week, but I won't.
I was going to give you a segue.
Because I won't.
Into the fights, man. So we're out here in Vegas. We're up in our room right now. We got the window open. And what do we see? What's outside?
The T-Mobile Arena.
They got some fights going down, man. What do you think? What's BetDSI got
going?
All right,
first off, I'm on fire.
Give me some odds, yeah, but give me BetDSI odds.
Okay, I'm going to go. I have a sheet in front of me. Big Ferg was plus 200 last week. He's down to plus 161, which means he's still a time and a half underdog. So you can get time and a half on Big Ferg. Now, Chael, this is Tony Ferguson.
For the handicappers out there, that might be the most competitive that anyone has ever been with Khabib Nurmagomedov. I don't believe anybody after Khabib broke onto the scene was ever plus 160.
I like Tony Ferguson. I'm rooting for Tony Ferguson. Ben Askren did Luke Thomas's show, and Ben broke it down like a wrestler. This is a wrestling match, and he is so dominant in several positions, and he's never seen anybody in mixed martial arts that dominant. Askren gave such a analogy of how he's going to win the fight. I, I'm
For who? For Ferger or Khabib? For Khabib. Your league. Okay, for, Askren took Khabib.
Askren took Khabib. He said he's so dominant.
He thinks he gets on top, pressures him with those hips, and starts pounding.
Yeah.
Does he think it goes a distance, or what did he say there?
He thought it would go the distance.
What's BetDSI have him at? BetDSI has him at...
Plus Ferguson's at plus 161.
Okay.
Tony Ferguson's at plus 161.
Hey, tell me this, before you even get into the main event, what's going on with Riemann Hunt? Because I'm a little bit torn on that fight, particularly with, you know, what they both did in Japan, what they both done in K1 and kickboxing and striking. I can see that fight going a couple of different ways, man.
Man, I don't, God, I like, again, I'm a fan, I like Hunt. Hunt is plus 120, so he's actually an underdog. Overeem's been knocked out several times. I mean, I think two out of the past four times he's been knocked completely out.
But BetDSI had some odds there where if Hunt knocks out Overeem, but he does it in the third round, it's like 18.
Here it is. I'll go Overeem first. Overeem by KO round one pays you 3-1. Overeem by KO round two, words are easy, pays you 8-1. Overeem by KO round three pays you 15-1. Overeem by decision pays you 16-1. Hunt by KO round one pays you 3-1. Hunt by KO round two pays you 8-1. Hunt KO round three pays you 18-1.
Wow,
that's the one that jumped out on both of us.
I don't know that I believe that Hunt is going to get a KO. However, I do personally believe if he gets a KO, it's likely to be in the third round. I don't think it's going to be a situation where it happens in the first. I don't think those guys are going to engage the way many people think they are. I think it's going to be a little bit of a slower start for these two monsters. I like that. I mean, if you're telling me that Hunt's going to get a KO, I'm going to tell you, well, then it's going to happen in the third round. If you're saying BetDSI will give you 18-1 to make that come true, I think you got to consider that bet.
I love that bet.
Get to the main event.
No. Here's one for you. Rashad Evans is coming back.
Okay. Dan Kelly.
What do you think about that fight?
Well, so I think that Dan Kelly has looked pretty bad. I don't think he's a very skilled guy. Now he's growing quickly. The same was said, to remind you, of Damian Maia when Damian started. And it was true. Damian was very limited. And Kelly's also very limited. But much like Damian Maia, Kelly's got a big heart, and he's tough as an old leather boot, and he's not going to quit. He beat Zapata, Shoeface, who came out to Portland and beat Gary Tonin. That was a big upset for me, and I thought that Shoeface was the better fighter, but he couldn't hold up. Kelly won't go away. He stays in there, and he bugs you. Old Rashad, I don't think he has much of a problem. New Rashad may not have much of a problem, but I haven't seen him in a while. You know, I just haven't seen him. He didn't really get out there and get going in the Glover fight. He had that Tim Kennedy debacle and whatever had happened with getting him licensed. So, you know, I think Rashad's probably going to have to work. But if you're asking me whose skills are better, it's Rashad without even a consideration.
You think you like that bet at Hunt at 18-1 with a KO round three?
Yeah.
Evans by decision gets you 16-1.
Really? Now, who's a favorite? Who's favorite in that fight just straight up to win? I imagine Rashad, correct?
No. Kelly's favored to win that fight.
Really? Yeah. Well, hey, Kelly, you know, I can sit here and tell you all these things from my living room that I saw problems with his skill set. But again, if you want to talk about intangibles, and intangibles is what wins fights, particularly if you're handicapping these things, you have to look at the fact that he is tough, and he's not scared to compete. He's not going to be scared of Rashad. He's going to go out, and he's going to compete. That'll take you a long way, skill-wise, speed-wise. Strength-wise, you know, don't forget about the size here. Rashad's coming down to 185 pounds. Don't lose sight of that. That's going to be a big guy, and he's going to move a little bit quicker than you're used to.
Main event.
Here we go.
Woodley versus Thompson.
Tell me how you see that.
Listen, man.
Before you tell me the odds, I want to know how you see who wins that fight.
I think Thompson's going to beat him, and I'm rooting for Woodley. I think Thompson's going to get him.
Stop him?
Oh man, I gotta have a hard time thinking he's gonna stop T. Woodley, but I do think he's gonna beat him in a decision. I want Woodley to win. If I was betting money, if I bet money on it, I will bet Woodley. But if I'm telling you guys, Who do I truly think is going to win? I think Thompson's going to win that fight.
Boy, I like what you said there about a decision. You know, I hope it goes to a decision. I would love to see those guys fight for 25 minutes. You know, I thought that first fight was really compelling, and it took T-Wood a little bit to figure out that style. That's a weird style, and T-Wood did the best he could. He brought in Sage Northcutt. He's got that karate background. But he had a really hard time dealing with Thompson like everybody else has. But once Tyron started to figure that out, started to figure out that timing and range, he set him down. I mean, he set him down a couple times and almost finished him. So we do need to see a bit of a continuation. And I will just tell you, with my gut, man, I could see that going either way. I think if Tyron wins, Tyron stops him. I think if Wonderboy wins, Wonderboy stops him. And if it goes to a decision, I don't know. You're going to have to look to the judges. I thought Tyron won the last fight. But I do get the argument for draw, but I thought it favored Tyron. I thought he looked a little bit better. I think that's going to affect both of their mentalities. But it's an interesting contest, and if you could guarantee me I could get that for 25 minutes, man, that's going to be one decision I look forward to.
Yeah, Woodley is plus 128, the champion. So he was an underdog the first time.
So they're almost even money.
That was a draw. Well, you know, plus 128 is almost plus 130. That's more than a little. Plus 110, plus 115 is basically even.
Okay.
Plus 130 is a legitimate favorite.
Does Bet DSI have an opinion on whether it will go to a decision or not?
Same things here. A draw pays you 45-1. Thompson by decision pays you 8-1. Thompson by KO round 5 pays you 20-1. Round 4 pays you 15-1. Thompson by KO round 3 pays you 10-1. Woodley, if he KOs him in round 1, pays you 8-1. Woodley KO round 2, pays you 10-1. Round 3, 12-1. Round 4, 18-1. And round 5, 20-1.
All right, guys, here's what you do. If you have any interest in any of this action, go to betdsi.com right now. Set up an account. Use the promo code CHAIL200. And they will give you a 200% bonus on whatever you deposit. You pick that number. I'm going to use the number 500 right now just to explain this. If you put up 500 bucks at betdsi.com using the promo code CHAIL200, when you check out, you will have $1,500 on the books. They will double your money at betdsi.com using the promo code CHAIL200. If you've got a smartphone, you can even get the mobile app. That's how I personally play. You can use it from anywhere. These guys have 24/7, 365 customer service. They have built a reputation on paying fast and making it very easy. You push one button, you get your money.
Now, the NCAA championships are coming up, bro. And BetDSI has all sorts of odds on the championship. It's the funnest time of the year. March Madness for a gambler is one of the funnest times of the year. Kentucky, a perennial championship contender, is 8-1 to win. Now, I'm a Kansas fan. Kansas is also 8-1. Those are great odds. Those are great odds for a team that has a really, really good chance at winning the national title. And you can go down to, like, Oklahoma's 1,000-1.
So far in 2017, Forbes and Podcast One have already launched 3 highly acclaimed shows. The Interview with Steve Bertone features the business world's most interesting names, like Adam Carolla, Twitter founder Sean Rad, and Hollywood's own Jessica Alba.
So I spent a lot of my childhood in hospital and hospital beds.
Under 30 with Steve Goldblum talks to the movers and shakers, like Nation Builder CEO Jim Gilliam and NFL Big Game winner Martellus Bennett.
Guys are afraid to be themselves because of their marketing deal.
And The List with Art of Charm's Jordan Harbinger.
We'll get behind-the-scenes insight and information that doesn't make the print cut.
Next up, Sports Money with Mike Ozanian talking to team owners, athletes, and industry leaders about the enterprise and money behind supreme athletic competition. Forbes on Podcast One. Not just entertaining, informative. Subscribe now at iTunes and don't forget to rate, review, and share. You're welcome. You're welcome with Chael Sonnen.
What was your favorite story told last night? You know, you said something interesting earlier when I said that you were ordering drinks from the stand and you denied doing that. It was like, well, wait a second. How much of this night do you recall?
My favorite story of the night was when you made everybody believe that you had the greatest
untold story.
Untold mixed martial arts story of all time, and it's never been told. And much like you telling anyone that would listen over and over and over and over again that Hendrix missed weight five times, and five times 20 is 100. I heard you tell that story in a matter of 3 days, 16 times. So it would be the story about the UFC or the WWE trying to pay off Goldberg or Goldie.
That was your favorite story?
Well,
because when I told it last night, you told me what a terrible story it was.
Yeah, all those stories sucked, bro. The only stories were any good was me. I saved the show again.
What story did you tell that was so good?
The story I told was how Frank Mir would take Frank Mir less time to whip my ass than me actually walking over to get my ass beat.
That's not a story. That's like a bit. You did a bit. That was funny.
Here, run on. Go. Do your thing. Do your thing.
Right now, I don't have a story. I was wondering what you got.
Spin me up. Let's go. Joel got drunk. Let's make fun of Joel. This is what we want to do. This is comedy to you. You know. Now, the funny thing is,
I'm going to take that as you don't remember the night.
The funny thing is,
we were on stage for 2 hours. I'm asking what story you enjoyed.
Well, I liked when Frank's wife came up there and told the story of Jenna. Their story about the submission underground, the submission event they just did. They liked that story a lot more than I did. That was about it. Mm-hmm. So go on. Here, have fun with me. Here, let me just sit here. Throw marbles at me, buddy. Have some fun. Have some fun with me. Have some fun with old Joel.
No, I'm pretty
big shots.
Well.
What they call you, Biggie?
I'm big shot. I'm pretty
big
well.
Big shot. Mr. Big Shot checks into the hotel, and he's such a big shot. He won't even come over and check in. I actually have to. But we have a free room. And Mr. Big Shot, he's so cool, he can't even check in. So he gives me his ID like they're going to take it. And he goes, here, you go handle it. Of course, I go up there. I do my level best. They're like, no, he's got to come over here. So Mr. Big Shot, he's too cool to even check into a hotel. Then, if he has to check into a hotel, he instead of grabbing his smartphone, taking 4 seconds to have a reservation, he needs to call his assistant to have her make a hotel reservation for him. When in the Sam hell did you get so big for your britches?
All right, well, so I'll tell you what really happened there, because I think you missed the play. Whoever checks into the room has to put their credit card on file. Now, having traveled the roads with you, and it's been a while since we've done this dance, but having traveled the roads with you, I knew it was a very good possibility that something bad is going to happen in that hotel room that I don't want to have to deal with in perpetuity. In which case, when a hazmat team has to come into the room, and it happened one time, Franklin told me the story of another time that you projectile vomited, and they sent in a hazmat team. So in this case, when I show up to the room, and there's vomit everywhere, including coming off of the walls. Thank goodness I had foreshadowed and let your history be a trajectory into your future, and that I saw that coming. I'll also remind you, when you woke up at 4 a.m., right after you called Miss H and left her the message from hell that you're now paying for today, and we'll leave it at that, you called room service and asked them for 6 quesadillas and 3 pops. I call room service back and tell them to cut that order in half. You then yell at me for only getting you 3 quesadillas, and when 5 a.m. had rolled around, you ate 2 quesadillas and fell back asleep, leaving 1 quesadilla left over. And said quesadilla, much like the hazmat team and anything else that went wrong in that room, will be on your credit card. So now you see why I didn't come
you
up
gamed
to
me
the
there,
counter.
Son, and
yes,
you got,
that wasn't
you,
a diva
you,
move.
You
that was a veteran
you,
move.
You gamed me there, son. And how about some boxing? You want to pick some boxing fights?
Are we guys still boxing?
We are in Las Vegas. I have 4 sheets. So the boxing sheet, Danny Garcia versus Keith
Thurman. I'm out. Move on. Don't know who any of them are. Next.
Daniel Jacobs versus Gennady Golovkin.
Out. Golovkin's a scumbag, man. And as good as he is, if he's not going to fight somebody that fans want to see him fight, then F him. Next.
Vladimir Klitschko versus Anthony Joshua.
Couldn't care less. Didn't know Klitschko was still fighting. Wish that he won it. He and his brother ruined boxing for well over a decade.
All right. Now, this one.
We have not have a North American pay-per-view in boxing in the heavyweight division that you could be excited about or look forward to since the Klitschkos emerged. Those guys single-handedly ruined boxing for North America. Now, those guys aren't even big in Russia or Chechnya or the Ukraine. They are big in Germany, of all places. And there's nothing that you can do when you have guys like this. You want to talk about the Ollie Act and all these different things, man. How about a promoter that can't sell any tickets because his two champions are too good to beat and too damn boring to care about? You've got to be able to cut the guy. You've got to be able to have intern championships. You have to have some kind of leverage to create something that's marketable. I do not care about either Klitschko, and I really wish they'd just go away. Now, there is a fight coming up. Who's that redheaded Mexican that you and I like? I can never say his name, but it's Alvarez.
Canelo Alvarez.
Okay, Canelo Alvarez. He's going to be fighting
Julio,
that pothead.
Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
Now, I like that fight because I like this old man. Now, the kid can fight too, but not very well, at least on that level. But he can fight. He cannot go with Canelo Alvarez, but I think that that will draw. I think you bring two Mexican fighters in. I think anybody named Cesar Chavez that's in the boxing world deserves respect. Again, it's largely because of the old man. But the kid, the nut didn't fall that far from the tree. The kid's just lazy. But I do like Canelo, man. I really do like Canelo.
Do you know these two? These two have tried to actually bet their entire purse. I'm going to beat you. I'll bet my purse on it. Now, you know, you can't do that. You can't legally do that. But they've come out and said, yeah, both of them. I'll bet my purse.
Yeah, well, here, let me correct you right there. They can do that. Under a commission, the minimum you can fight for is $1. So, yes, they 100% could drop a contract and have that sanctioned through a commission. They have to change their bout sheets. But they absolutely could do that. So when guys try to talk that way and build that hype, I'll bet everything, I'll put my purse up. Well, you really could do that. Roy Jones has done fights like that. He's done winner-take-all fights. Now, he had to go to Russia to do it where the commissions are different. But the point is, yes, you can. And no, neither of those guys is willing to do that, or they'd have done it. But I do like that fight. As far as boxing goes, that's the one and only we have to look forward to. And Triple G, I think Triple G is a real talent, and I will flip back on him when he fights somebody that we want to see him fight. But that's on him, man. You know, that's on him. Andre Ward, I still maintain, is the best boxer in the world. The guy's never lost. And people say it's Floyd Mayweather, but you got to take a good look at Andre Ward. He had his first fight when he was 12 years old. He has never been in the ring, Joel. Did you know this about him? Never been in the ring and not had his hand raised. 12 years old, 13 years old, 14 years old, 15 years old, world championships, national championships, Olympic Games, goes into professional prize fighting. He has never got into the ring and not had his hand picked up.
I think he was off for over 2 years in a contract dispute.
It was like four years where he just sat. I didn't know if he'd ever come back. But he is a guy, to Andre's credit, he's a guy that fights the right guys. And whether he's doing that or he's got the right promoters or management, but he is a guy that has meaningful fights in his divisions at the time that he fights them. I mean, you're telling me names that Klitschko's fighting. It's like, who, you know, come on.
God, you know what? You're so right about that. As a boxing fan, as long as I can remember being alive, I've stopped watching. I'm sitting here going through my head, when was boxing cool again? If you, as a boxing fan, don't care about the heavyweight championship of the world, the baddest man on the planet, the sport's down itself. And it's been since Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, that group of guys, that it was exciting. That's 12, 14 years, maybe longer. 15 yeah. years these guys have been running the top of the food chain.
Yeah, there literally has not been a heavyweight boxing match, pay-per-view, that has been an event in North America. Again, in Germany, for some reason, it's a little bit different, and Klitschko can still sell out. He could not come anywhere in America. He couldn't go to the Garden. There's a reason he doesn't come to the Garden. He couldn't come here to Las Vegas and sell out. He'll do some business, but he can't sell out. And it's not because he doesn't have the skills. It's just he's so damn boring, and so is his brother. They haven't built anything. They don't take it serious in terms of, you know, welcoming the fans and making people interested, making people care about it. And they're damn good talents, but they have single-handedly ruined the division, and there's no promoter with any amount of promoting skill that has been able to penetrate the boringness that is the Klitschko brothers.
Great point. Solid work there. Some again, I'm a fan. Paige Van Zandt,
PVZ,
has moved to Portland, Oregon. She's from Newburgh.
She is my new teammate.
And she is your new teammate. How did that happen? I remember you talking about it several months ago. You were like, "Hey, Paige Van Zandt's gonna move to Portland." I was like, "Why would Paige Van Zandt move to Portland?" And I still want to know.
Yeah, well, I mean, we just have her come into the studio next week and ask her straight up. But I'll tell you this as far as her background, and I haven't asked her that question. Hey, why did you make the move to Portland? But I can just tell you from her background, you know, she was born in McMinnville. She went to McMinnville High School even. And I think it was after her freshman year. She got bullied. Paige got bullied, and she made this very public when she had her experience on Dancing with the Stars. And, you know, she was a cute young girl, and she had some skills and made the cheerleading team. She made varsity as a freshman, and some of the older girls just had a real resentment towards that. And she moved. Her family moved to Reno. So as far as why did she come back specifically or make that decision, I don't know. But her family is here, and she is from Oregon. So I don't know that it was that left field of a decision. But as far as training goes, she's now at Gracie Bahand or Fabiana Scherner. And I don't know if that's where she's going to do all her training camps or she's still going to run out to Alpha Male. And I know she even had something going in Reno. She was at a CrossFit gym of all things, but she loved it. She had a good relationship there. And so I don't know for sure if she plans to do everything here, but I think she does. She's also teamed up with Chris Cyborg. So I'm expecting Cyborg to come out to Portland and them to help each other train. So some exciting things. But as far as why or what prompted her to move back, I don't know. I would imagine because her family's here.
Now, I tell you, a really, really, really pretty girl coming into a gym of all guys is kind of like bringing in the camera crew. You know how when the camera crew comes in, everybody ups their game, everybody has a little bit more energy. I'm going to say, I mean, you can say all of the things in the world. Paige Van Zandt is, you know, this great fighter and great kicks boxer, this, that, and the other. Paige Van Zandt's beautiful, and she's going into a gym full of dudes. That is an interesting dynamic.
I suppose. I mean, but it's no different than anything else she's ever done. I mean, every atmosphere she's coming, even coming into mixed martial arts, is male-dominated. Absolutely. The Alpha Male gym, I can't think of a female fighter they have aside from her. I've seen training footage. I've never seen her sparring with a girl. I've seen her going with Benavides. I've seen her in there with TJ, you know, just in her training footage. So I think that that's pretty normal. And, you know, we aren't without females at our gym. We do have a couple, but I get your point. They're very rare, but the sport in general is very light on females. It's a brand new thing. So I don't fully even know what your point is other than, yeah, Paige Van Zandt is a big deal. And I know people at the gym were very excited that she would be in. And you're right. I anytime there's a UFC fighter, especially a high caliber, what that's practicing, there's more people in the room. That is true.
I just think that to not acknowledge that a beautiful woman going into an all-male gym is going to... It is going to be very interesting the way people act. You got to understand that half the guys there have wives or girlfriends, and there ain't no way on earth that a wife or a girlfriend is going to be happy that this beautiful young lady is coming into the gym to start training with her husband or her boyfriend.
Here, look, I got to cut you off right there. I don't fully know where you're going with this, but I don't love the vibe of it. She is a new teammate at the gym. People will be excited to see her, and that's the end of it. If you want to stick your foot all the way in your mouth, do it now, but get it over with.
I don't understand what am I sticking my foot in my mouth for? It's true. It's a beautiful woman going into a gym full of guys.
Okay.
That is different. We never dealt with that in wrestling, ever. Not one time. One time.
So then what are you saying about the other girls in the gym or the girls back in your wrestling days that they weren't beautiful?
There's only one girl in that gym.
Okay, and are you declaring her now as unbeautiful? I mean, what is it you're saying with it? How do you not see your foot going right into your mouth?
All right, well, under further review, I think that I do see said foot kind of going in the mouth. So, NCAA wrestling's here.
Boom. Switch gears. Go.
That's what just happened.
Mark Twain had a famous saying, when you were in a hole, quit digging.
All right. Well, there you go. I told you that to begin with.
Are you still drunk? Hey, what was that stuff? Now, this is a serious question on your alcohol. Frank had brought you something, but it had like silver flakes in it or something.
Oh God, I don't know. That was the.
Okay, but what is that? I mean, is that actual silver? Is it something? I can't imagine that digests well.
Well, it didn't digest, did it?
But what is that that you're drinking that creates that silver flake?
He got me. I think Goldschlager.
Well, okay, that's what Reese kind of said too. But Goldschlager is gold flakes. These were silver. Yeah, so is this silver Schlager?
I have no idea.
I still want an answer to my question though. So use Goldschlager as an example then. What are those gold flakes? What is that that creates that consistency? And how is that as that goes through your intestines? I mean, what exactly is that?
I think we covered that. I don't know what it is.
I get it that you might react well to it.
Am I supposed to be the guy that knows everything about alcohol?
Yeah.
Because I drink it.
Well, I could just tell you if I was drinking something and it had a floating something that wasn't breaking down, I would assume, well, how's my body going to break this down? Okay, you don't know the answer.
No, as a matter of fact, I don't.
What is on your phone, man?
Well, I got games. We're in Las Vegas. I've got games going on right now. I've got Kansas in the over, and I got North Carolina in the over.
Are either of them playing?
So I'm checking my bets. Yeah, they're playing right now. That's okay. Why I'm checking my phone. This is what's going on right now. Now, I segue to NCAA wrestling. The news out of the Big Tens is Nick Sirianni may not be able to compete.
Yeah, that's right. So Sirianni hurt his ankle in the Oklahoma State duel, but here's what the play there would be. Is when that headline came out of Penn State, people thought that Sirianni was done for the season because if he doesn't go to Big Tens, he can't qualify for nationals. What they're missing, and this theory was just tested by a Minnesota wrestler, but what they're missing is as long as Sirianni enters the tournament, he could get last place, and because he's ranked number two in the country, receive a wild card selection from the coaches. So all he has to do is make weight, put his singlet on, walk onto the mat. The second the whistle blows, he takes one step back, holds up the timeout signal, and says, I'm done. As long as he enters that tournament, he can kick the can down the road to the NCAAs, which gives him an extra 15 days, 16 days from right now, to fully recover and try to get that ankle better. So that's the play that's going on there.
Do you think
if, and it's the right move.
Do you think Penn State can win the national title without Sirianni?
Yes, I do think that they can win it, and the points would reflect that. However, losing a finalist, it's not going to be good. Now, they did just have a dual meet against Oklahoma State, who was ranked number one in the country, and they did not have Nick Sirianni. He injury defaulted, which cost them 6 points. So you take Nick's three and six, it's a 9-point swing. Had you put in your backup guy, he's not likely to get pinned. It would have been closer, and Penn State still won it. So yes, they have proven that they could handle at least in a dual meet format. I also think in a tournament format, I think that was a foregone conclusion. I don't know how anybody was ever ranked number one this year aside from them.
Now, you've been all over that all year. Did you see Kel Sanderson came out after that match and said about Nick's injury? Yeah, he hurt his ankle. He's never been hurt before. Didn't know how to deal with the pain.
Yeah.
That was kind of a poke in the chest to the kid. Hey, you should have finished that match. You should have toughed that out.
Okay, and I didn't take it that way. Now, I did hear the same words, and you do have the quote right. I took it as Kale just being very matter-of-fact, saying, hey, this guy's never been hurt before. And you know, he got a little bit startled by it. You know, it's really hard to judge Kale because you can only take him at his words. He shows absolutely no body language. He's like Fedor. I mean, he is the Fedor of wrestling. His tone never gets louder. It never gets softer. He doesn't smile. He doesn't cry. He comes out. He presents his information. He runs his practices. He does his recruiting. He handles his business. He is the best at it. I mean, how many championships has he won now? 4 championships out of 5 tries. He's getting ready to win his 5th out of 6 tries, and if I'm wrong on that, I'm damn close. But this is his demeanor. So it's hard to tell. But I don't think he Kale Sanderson wanted to poke at his own guy. I heard the same words you did, but I had a different interpretation.
Now, here's my question. Who picks those wild cards?
You ever see Kale Sanderson wrestle Les Getchus?
I seen Kale beat in 2001. No, it was two. When did? No, it would have been 2001 when.
Kale Sanderson versus Les Getchus cost me a trip to the national championship. Did I tell you that story?
No, tell the story.
Olympic year 2000. All the semifinals go at the same time. Well, we're the same weight class. I'm in the semifinals against Quincy Clark. Kale and Les are wrestling in the semifinals in freestyle on the opposite mat. So we're side by side on mats because we're the same weight class, but we're different styles. I'm ahead of Quincy Clark 4-0. And time's winding down. Les Getchus hasn't been taken down by an American in 5 years. Kale Sanderson takes him down 5 times in one match. Les Getchus, the world champion, is losing to a guy in college. Okay, now a special guy, but it's a guy in college. Les hits a duck under, pops up to his feet, swoops Kale through the air for 3, which puts Les ahead by 2. I can't believe, you know, I'm trying to watch this match, I'm trying to wrestle Quincy, but the entire wrestling world is waiting for that match to happen. I let up because this move happened, boom, Quincy turns me, beats me 6-4. Kale takes Les down again, but time runs out, Les wins that by 1 point. I've had enough of you today, actually. You're actually quite irritating, and I don't mean that as like a dagger. I just feel you didn't take any responsibility for botching the tickets. You somehow flipped the script on me pretty good about you getting sauced up and not remembering any of the stories at the show. And you checking your phone, and frankly, I don't believe you that Kansas is playing right now. So why don't we just call it unless you got anything else? I'll give you the last word. You got something you want to say?
I love you, buddy.
And again, excellent. Excellent job of turning. There's no way I can respond to that without coming off as a jerk. You know, you are getting better at this. You're getting better at the psychological warfare. So I got to give you props on that one. Guys, get yourself the ultimate weight cut. Go to ultimateweightcut.com. This is the diet Joel was telling you about that he's on. How much are you down, by the way? What'd you do in
the
last week?
Well, actually, I was wrong. I said I was down. What did I?
But I just want to know the last week.
The reality is I'm down 12 pounds. I was 274 when I started. I was 262. Before this trip.
Man, I don't want to sit here and do math. It's been an hour show. How much are you down in the last week?
78 pounds.
Go get yourself the ultimate weight cut. Do not expect to lose 78 pounds in 1 week. Use the promo code BADGUY and you will save 40%. Guys, this is all digital. You will get instant gratification. If you want to go on a diet, start today. That you don't get mailed a book or shipped anything where you got to sit there and wait. Go to Ultimate Weight Cut. Buy the guide. I think it's like $9. It's very cheap. You would save 40% by using the promo code BADGUY. Boom. It unlocks it, and you are off right then. They got meal plans. They got rehydration guides that will teach you how to test your metabolic rate. Everything you've ever wanted to know about losing weight, do not wait. Start today. The dirtiest word in dieting, guys, the one that they never tell you, is time. It takes time, and that is what stops everybody from trying to lose weight. Everybody knows if you exercise and you eat less calories than you consume, than you burn, you're going to lose weight. But what they don't want to do is wait. They don't want to wait the time. Get your clock started right now. Go to ultimateweightcut.com. Use the promo code BADGUY. Save 40%. Until tomorrow with the drunken buffoon, I am Chael Sonnen, and you all are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hi, I'm Larry Mack Reynolds, host of the new podcast, Larry Mack, America's Crew Chief on Podcast One. As a 2-time Daytona 500 winning crew chief and current analyst for Fox Sports and FS1, I'll be bringing you a unique perspective on everything NASCAR, from how a race plays out, strategy on pit road, technical issues, and anything in between. Download new episodes now on podcastone.com or subscribe at iTunes.